thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
As you look at the title of your notes there, it's Handling the Unexpected. Handling the Unexpected. Because guess what? The unexpected is going to happen. There's not much you can do about it. It's just going to happen. And it'd be nice to know how to handle it when it does come. Because most people, when the unexpected happens, I guess you could do a couple things, but one of the things is you shut down. Some people just shut down. Some people just maybe want to ignore it, and they kind of retreat to a bedroom or retreat to their house and just until this thing blows away. And I have news for you, it just doesn't blow away. It's there. So if we shut down every time the unexpected happened, every time there was a disappointment, every time there was a discouraging word, every time there was a betrayal, if we shut down, we'd be shut down half our lives because it always happened. So the key would be, how do I handle the unexpected if it's going to happen this way? In the Gospel of John in chapter 16, Jesus said it this way, verse 33, he said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. I want to stop there for a moment. Not overlook that. Jesus' promise says that in him we're going to have peace. It might not be the kind of peace the world would describe, absence of any turmoil or the unexpected. That's not the kind of peace that's being talked about. But the peace that passes all understanding. In me, you're going to have the kind of peace is that soothing presence of Almighty God that are linked to his promises to be with you. He said, in this world, you will have what? Trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Take heart. I have overcome the world. In this world, see, Jesus knows what we're faced with. He knows the culture. Not only culture during his time, but he could look down through the telescope of history and future, and he could tell you what the culture is going to be like. Because we live in a world that basically is anti-Christ, anti-God, independent, trying to do their own thing, disobedient to God's way. So the very fact that those things are going on creates trouble. Anytime we are separated from the one who created us and from his design, there's going to be trouble. It's only when you link back up with his design and his purposes that you're not in trouble. But take heart. Why? Because Jesus himself has overcome the world. Now, a few statements. We live in a world of imperfect information. It blows me away that when our country is faced with the unexpected, which certainly 9/11 was the unexpected, or anything, the economy, 2008, when things like that happen, it is amazing to me that the greatest brains in the world come together and try to come up with a solution. They gather information, the best information they can get to make a decisive decision. And then we find out it wasn't the right decision. Why? Because we live in a world there's imperfect information. It's not perfect information. So we can't come up with a perfect plan because there's no perfect information. We also live in a world where we are guaranteed surprises. There's actually a guarantee. Everybody likes a guarantee. Guarantee your car will last this long. Guarantee it on your house. But how about guaranteed surprises? Ew. Some don't like that. We live in a world of unpredictable surprises. You can't predict when they're going to have. Can you imagine if you could just plan your week or your year or something like this? Well, I'm going to plan it to the best of my ability. I know there's going to be troubles, but this year there's only going to be 14 unexpected things are going to happen. And I like for them to happen in the fall because I have plans for, it doesn't go that way. You never know day to day what is going to happen. Reality is that there are too many variables in life to have a perfect plan. Just too many variables in life. I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. Our family enjoys taking our vacation time, which we will do in the month of July and August. But you know what we enjoy about vacation is the planning of and the expectation and the anticipation. To me, that's the better part of a vacation. You get together with your family, you have some family time, you talk about things you're going to do. And my grandkids love it because I get in the car, and if they're a little down, all I have to say is, hey, guys, we're going to be on the beach. And they all light up. Oh, yeah, we're going to go to the boardwalk, and we're going to build sandcastles, and we're going to do all that. So vacation planning and talking about it is relaxing in and of itself. Well, we were on one of those vacations where we go on the Jersey Shore, and as we were sitting around, and it's just beautiful there, and we happen to have a two-bedroom condominium that sits right on the beach. So at the back door of the condominium, there's a concrete area where they have showers when you get off the beach, and we sit there, and then you go right to the sand and walk to the beach. And it has a boardwalk there, and you walk under the boardwalk and go to the beach. And we're sitting around one morning, it was about 8 o'clock. First thing I do when I get up, I put my swimsuit on, nothing else, just swimsuit. I walk out the back door. Someone usually goes and gets sticky buns and donuts, you know, at these places, the pastry shops, and brings them back. We're sitting around, and I have, I think it was a sticky bun in my hand, and it's just so beautiful that I say something really dumb. I say, it doesn't get any better than this. And before I got the word this out, a seagull flew over, pooped on my head. I didn't even get the word. It pooped on my head. It ran down my face, ended up in the hair in my chest. I got hair in my chest and on my swimsuit. And it was like, in that moment, it was like the Lord spoke to me that when you think you have it all together, someone's going to come along and poop on you. I didn't put that on your notes, but I think you'll remember it. Isn't it the truth, though? So I never say that phrase since that day 10 years ago. I never say it. I say it doesn't get much better than this. I always leave space. Lord, that was one lesson. I don't need another one type thing. The most successful people are those who can navigate uncertainty. Think about that one for a moment. The happiest, most successful people are those who can navigate the uncertainties of life. You're not shut down. You're not detoured. You're simply figuring it out as you go. Becoming comfortable, acting in the face of the unanticipated, is a huge asset in life. So get comfortable with it. Don't believe or dream that it's not going to happen. Get comfortable that it can happen and will happen. Now, how do I navigate through it is the real key. I want to give you seven things that I think will be very practical in nature and be helpful. Number one, need to remember you're not alone, because that's the way the enemy will try to make you feel, oh, man, it only happens to me. I've heard people say it. It doesn't happen to other people like it happens to me. Why does it always have to happen to me? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul hears of troubles that are going on, and he sent Timothy to strengthen you, encourage you from being shaken by the what? You were going through. Early church had troubles they went through. And Paul had to send someone so that he could steady the ship, so to speak. But notice this, but you know that we are what? This translation says, destined for such troubles. Now, some of you might say, well, that's negative preaching. We don't believe that. We believe in prosperity and troubles are never going to hit you. Well, God bless you. Destined, and you'll find different translations, but I looked it up in the original Greek. It's an interesting word. It means almost divine design. Wow. Is it possible that God uses troubles? Is it possible that God uses unexpected things in your life or disappointments or things in your life just as maybe a design to get something done? I don't know. I found my walk to be that way. You'll find out more about that as we go along. So the question should not be, why me, Lord? The question should be, what now, Lord? Not why me, Lord, but what now? Do you see how that changes the whole picture of the thing? The unexpected, the phone call, the news that comes some other way, it hits you, and you can stop and say, why me, or what now? The what now just opens up for the Spirit of God to speak to you and lead you. It changes the whole situation. I guess we can safely say, expect the unexpected. The second thing I think we can do in a practical way, realize it can be a great character builder. Oh yeah, a great character builder. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 out of the Amplified, consider it holy, all of it, joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped or encounter trials of any sort. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance, steadfastness, and patience. Now, if you think about it for a moment, what came out of you the last time something unexpected happened? The last time a disappointment, what came out of you? Well, I'm not going to ask you to stand up and confess those things. Get ugly in here. But think about it. What comes out of it? Sometimes, some ugly things can come out. But God could be using this to perfect a new character. You know, character is important to God. Being conformed into the image and likeness of Christ is important to God. Matter of fact, I've come to believe that the character building is even more important than the end product. Of course, our end product is to glorify God, I know, and to win souls. But the building of character is awfully important to God. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. I was thinking of farmers, and I was thinking of different parables and stories in the Bible, and what I've come to see that there's really no harvest without conflict. The farmer has to go out, he has to break up the ground, he has to depend on the rain, and he has to then depend on his flock and all of this, and there are lots of conflicts before there's a harvest. There'll be lots of conflict before there's a harvest of a great character in your life. Now, notice what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. I don't have it on your notes, but great verse. He says, for in our light afflictions. Wait a minute, Paul. Your light afflictions, you were stoned half to death. You were beaten. You were thrown in prisons. You were making your way to Rome. And Paul could say, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul saw the bigger picture. Can you see the bigger picture? The next time something unexpected happens, what now, Lord? And begin to see the bigger picture. Thirdly, and we always must do this, resist the enemy and the temptation that he brings. I like this verse. There's a real simple key in here. James 4 says, so humble, say humble. Humble yourself before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I believe there's a real key here. Because when the unexpected happens or something disappointing happens, the temptation is to respond immediately in our own strength. Gonna grab that bull by the horns. Man, I'm going to wrap my mind and heart around it. I'm going to come up with a solution. And you know what could be in that? Pride. Relying on our own strength. Relying on our own giftings, you can say, or talents that you might have. So the word is, humble yourself before God. Stop. Lord, I humble myself. And it's not wrong to say, God, I don't think I can do this without you. Matter of fact, I'd rather say, God, I can't do this without you. And I need you. Lord, thank you for my gifts. Thank you for my talent. Thank you for my experiences, God. But I don't want to get ahead of you. I don't want to push my pride and push my way of doing things because, God, you're going to do it far better than I can do it. And you know what happens? When you begin to humble yourself, the devil doesn't have anything to do. He's got to flee from you because you're leaning on the Lord and you're not on your own understanding. So those first things, fear, emotions, can take hold. And you know, emotions given to us by God, but very dangerous way to walk your walk with God. If you try to walk this walk, if you try to be led through life by your emotions, it's going to get you in trouble. Emotions are good as long as they're kept under the control of the Spirit and the Word of God. You must submit your emotions under the Spirit and the Word of God. The Word of God and Spirit will check those emotions so that they don't get so out of control, because you've seen people that get so emotional in the things. They say things they shouldn't have said. They make decisions they shouldn't have made. And the unexpected turns into a crisis in our life rather than an opportunity to grow in Christ and learn how to navigate through it. Fourthly, slam dunk, look to Jesus. But I want to show you some things in here what I mean by look to Jesus. It's not just some spiritual phrase that makes a good point. Look to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, notice, the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. You see, Jesus is a great example to us, the way he lived his life. So we're to look at his example. The joy that was set before him. Wow, it's hard to get my mind wrapped around that. Joy of crucifixion, nails, spear in the side, thorns, whipping. Joy that was, he saw a bigger picture. Look to Jesus, looking to Jesus. See the bigger picture on it. You can endure so much more when you see the bigger picture and the promise that God is going to work it out. I was thinking about Jesus' ministry, and I kind of took a little walk through the New Testament, not very long, but a little walk. It wasn't long that I found out that a majority of the effectual ministry of Jesus was done in the midst of interruptions. I want that to settle a little bit. Jesus is being moved from village to village, and when he gets there, the crowds are so intense and pushing in on him that all of a sudden a woman comes along and she has to shove her way in, touch the hem of his garment. He realizes it. He stops. He's being interrupted for what he does. He stops. He heals this woman. In the meantime, a man comes and says, listen, he was actually going to heal this daughter of this guy when he's interrupted by the woman. And by the time he's done healing the woman, the girl dies. And then he says, never mind, I'm still going to your house. Do you see, you get the picture? Interruptions, if we wait for everything to calm down and be just right, you will probably never be effective in ministry. You've got to learn to minister in interruptions. You've got to learn how to minister when the unexpected happens. You have to learn how to take control of that moment that it happens. It's faith in the moment. Say it with me. Faith in the moment rather than fear. Say that. Faith in the moment rather than fear in the moment. When the unexpected happens, normally fear is in that moment. We've got to reverse it. I'm thinking of Peter. I'm thinking of a storm on the Sea of Galilee. I'm thinking of the disciples that were sent ahead by Jesus. And as they were sent ahead and in this storm, Jesus comes to them walking on the water. He yells out. Peter recognizes his voice. What did Peter have in the moment? Faith. You don't get out of a boat and start walking on the water without faith. So he gets out of the boat. He starts walking on the water. So he had faith in the moment until what? He began to feel the wind. Look at the waves. Look at the rain hitting. He looks at, gets his eyes off of Jesus. He looks at the storm and begins to sink. Fear took hold instead of faith. Have faith in the moment, and you're going to find things a lot easier. Don't be looking for the quick fix. Wait on God. Don't let your emotions run rampant on you. Number five, trust God will work it out for the good. I couldn't help but go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 of the New Living says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good. He does not say everything is good. He said he will cause everything to work for the good. God has the ability to do that. I'm not saying every interruption is good. I'm not saying every unexpected thing is good. But God has a way of helping you work it out for the good. Unexpected sometimes bring a surprising benefit. A surprising benefit. Let me tell you a little story from the Old Testament. Remember, probably never thought of this. First king of Israel is about to be chosen. The people were complaining, said they wanted a king. Samuel, who was the prophet of the time, went to the Lord, and the Lord said, give him a king. So Samuel's job was to go out and find this first king. In the meantime, behind the scenes, there was a man by the name of Saul. Saul was working for his father, and it tells us in the story that the donkeys, his father's donkeys, got loose and ran away from the pen. Now, that might mean nothing to us, but let me put it this way. If you own a trucking business and you wake up and all your trucks are gone, okay, that's an unexpected moment, right? You got to go find the trucks. Well, these donkeys were important to the culture and everything that they did. So they're all gone. It's an unexpected moment. Saul has to stop everything that he's doing, all his responsibilities. He has to switch gears. He takes a servant and he goes out looking for the donkeys. Now, he's looking quite a long time, covered a lot of land. Finally, the servant says, listen, we're not getting anywhere. There's a prophet. His name is Samuel. He lives in this area. Let's go see him, and maybe he can help us out. They come to Samuel, and what does Samuel say? Saul, you're the next king of Israel. Wow, that unexpected moment where he had to change gears turned out to be the blessing that he would be the first king. You think God arranged that? Come on. Arranged it a little bit, didn't he? You think God can arrange things around your unexpected moments? Absolutely. But you got to be looking for them and diligent in them. Back in the 1970s, something happened to me that was very unexpected, but a blessing came out of it. I'd shared this somewhat before, but during the 1970s, when we were here, the ministry of the church was taking place downtown Denver. God was saving a lot of people. A lot of young people were coming in and getting saved. The church was growing downtown Denver. We realized that we had outgrown it, and we had to look for a piece of land, which we ended up coming out here. During that time, I was in construction. I didn't want to be in construction, but I was willing to do it because that's where God had me. At the same time, I was doing as much ministry as I could with my time. And I remember God blessing our construction company, and I'd drive down onto the construction job and say, God, I appreciate the blessings, but I don't want this. I want to be in full-time ministry. And God said, timing, kept going, timing, timing, timing. Well, we were blessed to a point where I was in my young 30s. I was just 34 years old, and we had accumulated enough assets and investments that I literally could have retired, and I would have lived on what we had. And I thought, that's God's plan. I'm going to go into ministry. I don't have to have any money given to me by the church. God is blessed that he saw another way to do it. 1979, 1980 hit. Unexpected economy. Interest rates shot through the ceiling. People, now you think you're getting a good deal, 4 or 5% interest on your homes today. People were looking for loans at 12% and 13% loan. And then something happened where we had 40 homes under contract, and in a day, they went up to 14 and 15%. We lost every contract. So we're sitting on 40 specs homes with an interest rate that we're paying 20 and 22% construction loans. We lost everything in 18 months that we ever accumulated. Everything. We had to sell everything. We were down to zero. At the moment that that happened, we had just finished the church across the street. I mean, we were able to build the church. God was blessing. Everything was going. The unexpected happened. But what did happen, to God be the glory, I got out of the business and I came full-time for this ministry. And I began to work full-time for this ministry in that year. Where I really wanted to be is where God put me. But he did it his way. You know, God has a way of doing things. And you just got to trust him and have faith in the moment that it's going to work out. Now, did I struggle with that a little bit? You would too. But I really did believe that God was going to work it out for good. And he was good enough to work it out for good at that time. Listen, the fact is, if God is for us, who's going to be against us? If God says it, it's going to be come to pass, isn't it? The unexpected, in order to force us to trust him more fully. Do you believe that? God is going to get some glory out of this. That's what he wants more than anything else. Sixthly, guard your heart. Wow, this is an important one, folks. When the unexpected happens, you have to guard your heart. Look at this verse. It says in 1 Corinthians, be on your guard. The next verse says that Proverbs, and above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Listen, when the unexpected happens, all kind of things can come out of your heart. The heart is desperately wicked. Deceitful above all things, Jeremiah said. We don't like to hear something like that, but folks, it really is. An unredeemed, not being born again heart could lead you into, you listen, you could begin to lash out. You could begin to get angry. You mumble, you complain, you murmur, you get bitter. Life is unfair. Your heart gets hard, you get callous. I can't tell you how many times my heart breaks to see the hundreds of people down through the years of walking with the Lord, they allowed that to happen to them. And where they are today, it's a shame. And it can happen. So what I do, I have a little simple practice, and I try to show you every once in a while. I physically put my hands on my heart, and I say, especially when it's something unexpected, some disappointment, Lord, don't let anything get in here to destroy me. Don't let this heart lead me astray or become bitter over anything. God, guard my heart. And I physically do it because I know what damage a heart, not under control of the Spirit, can do to an individual. It could be devastating. The last one, stay hopeful. Stay hopeful. We have every reason to be hopeful. We're going to move into communion here in just a moment, but every reason to be hopeful. Proverbs 13, verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's like a tree of life. It'll come. It's like a tree of life. Some are able to shout when everything is going all right. It's easy to dance when all the ducks are in a row. It's easy to sing praises in your house when everything is together. But can you shout? Can you dance? Can you sing when the unexpected happens? That's the question we want to end with here. There was three young men who were carried away from Israel with Daniel. You know the story of Daniel. And they went to Babylon, into a foreign culture, friends, away from friends, away from peer influence and godly, fatherly, motherly advice from grandfathers and all. And there they were. A decree went out from Nebuchadnezzar the king to worship at a set time every day this beast that he had built. Well, they refused to worship. So here comes someone, and they said, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, you got three young men there. And so he brought them to them, and they said, listen, and he tried to reason with them. I think he liked them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, why don't you go think about this, and then when the trumpet blows, you know what they said? They said, king, we don't have to go think about it. We're not going to change your mind. There's a conviction in our heart. We're going to worship the one true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We will not bow down to any other god. Nebuchadnezzar was furious. He said, heat up the furnace seven times what it is. He got his strongest guards. He bound those three young men in cloth and tied them up. They took them to the fire. the guards who threw them in the fire. The fire was so hot, they burned to death, throwing them in. So after they were thrown in there, Nebuchadnezzar's looking at, and suddenly he sees them walking around. They're not bound. Now, there are two things in here. What we see in this, the fourth person was in there, Jesus was in there. But first of all, see this. They weren't bound in the fire. Are you getting it? They weren't bound in the fire. In the midst of your trial, in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the unexpected, in the midst of a disappointment, in the midst of a betrayal, you don't have to be bound. You can be free. You might have to walk in it a while, but be free while you walk in it, because you're walking in it with the Son of God. He's right in there alongside of you. We want, get us out of this fire. And God could be just as soothing and as peaceful in the fire as he is outside. Do you believe it? I think it's true.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.